If it bleeds, it leads. Why does crime, death, and destruction often get top billing in the news? How do journalists report on violence and tragedy with sensitivity and balance? And what does covering crime all the time do to them and their psyches? We continue our crime series now with a look at how the media deal with crime inside and out. Let's start with the reporters who have covered murder and mayhem as part of their beats. Michelle McCallop, a former crime reporter with KBMT Channel 12 in Beaumont, Texas, is joining us. And Natalie Pompilio, a freelance journalist who has covered crime, war, and natural disasters for 15 years in New Orleans and Iraq and now at her current base of Philadelphia. Welcome to News and Notes.
Thank you.
Hi, Tony.
Young reporters are almost always assigned the police beat when they start out. Is that what happened to the both of you, Michelle?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, I've done newspapers in Grand Rapids and Muskegon, Michigan, and typically in the newsroom you get assigned to the police beat, at least. I think we had a rotating position for that. And when it comes to news, TV news, that's what makes the news, really. Any kind of overnight murder or overnight crime, people are interested in what's happening, especially in their neighborhood.
That's true. Natalie, is that what happened to you? You got stuck on the, I won't say stuck, you got put on the police beat when you got started?
I actually begged for the police beat.
Did you?
I started covering local governments, and I couldn't believe how boring I found that. And I really, really wanted to cover crime or something that I felt was more real.
Really?
And that's how I made it my life.
Do either of you remember the first time that you covered a case and you saw a dead body? Like before the coroner got there and before everybody else got there, and what your reaction was to realizing that you were actually at a murder crime scene. Do you, either of you remember that?
Yes,
unfortunately,
I do. I had two instances. I was interning at a Houston television station, and we went out to a home where there had been a murder, and the coroner had not gotten there yet, so I saw this. It was a white male, white, ashy guy. It was just really startling to me as a young reporter, but I was there with a veteran reporter who was able to kind of, you know, get me away from it. And, of course, I didn't want to get emotional or anything in front of him, so I was able to keep it in. And then there was a wreck here in Beaumont a few years ago where the bodies were pretty much dismembered, and I remember almost stepping, and this is gross, almost stepping on a finger, you know, that was strewn around the side of the highway. So that was pretty shocking because I've never, ever seen anything like that in my life.
Changes you, and you don't forget that stuff, do you?
You don't. I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Natalie, when we read or watch crime stories, there's usually a response from the victim, if they survived, or in the case of murder, from the family members or neighbors. This is what we usually see on TV and read in the papers. Is this mm-hmm. the real substance of the crime story, the most important part?
I think the victim is usually the most important part of the story. And it's not just the actual crime, it's the follow-up, what happens to the family afterwards, who the victim leaves behind if they don't make it. And it's also the story that's most often ignored in regular media.
Really? Michelle, you've covered crime for 7 years, as we've said, in Texas. Mm-hmm. Before that, you worked at a newspaper. What are the main differences between crime reporting for television and crime reporting for the print media, let's say?
I think the immediacy of it, you know, if I go to a crime scene for television, I could go live within the hour. So I not only have to get to the crime scene, get all of the information, deal with the emotions that are surrounding the story, but I have to be ready to go on TV in within an hour live. And sometimes, you know, you do get very emotional depending on what's going on. And, you know, you have to kind of give yourself some time to get yourself together amidst everything that's going on.
Well, how do you
Whereas
do that?
Whereas a newspaper...
Mm-hmm, go on.
I'm sorry. Whereas a newspaper, you know, I could go back to the newsroom. I have several hours to write my story, and, you know, I'm not feeling as much pressure in such an emotional environment as I am with live television.
So when you're in a television situation, how do you collect yourself before you go on?
I think you just have to, you know, take a breather and put yourself in their shoes. And I remember one particular live shot that I did when a little girl had been murdered, actually taken from her home. And my news director told me that I was, you could tell that the story affected me, but it wasn't overboard. So the key is to be balanced about it. I mean, I'm not covering a happy story. I'm not covering anything that you know, would make people laugh. So you have to be balanced in that you show that you're human, you show that you're affected by this as well as anybody would be, but you're also objective enough to stand there and give the facts and tell what's going on with the story.
Natalie, how do you go about approaching someone who was clearly upset or in shock at the time at a crime scene? How do you maintain a level of sensitivity, and how do you convey that to your readers? Do you want people crying, or do you want to be able to report that somebody had tears in their eyes? Does that make the story better?
No, it doesn't make the story better. I've had people say things like, you only put that detail in to sell newspapers, but I don't think I've ever sold another extra newspaper because of an extra detail. I put stuff like that in because it's going to affect the reader and change how they perceive it. When I go up to victims, I just go up as humbly and, you know, honestly as I can and say, do you want to talk to me? I've seen a lot of other journalists who are more pushy, and maybe that's more effective, but I think people sense sincerity and that you just want to tell their story.
In television, Michelle, they are pushier, mm-hmm. aren't they, at a crime scene?
Yeah, a little bit, although you learn as you mature that you really do have to put yourself in their shoes and how you would feel being interviewed. And my script is always, I know that this is a devastating time for you, but we would like you to be able to tell the viewers out there who this person was. We don't know him. We only know him as this murdered victim. But you know him as a brother or father or uncle, whoever, and we want you to tell the reader something about him. And normally that works because family members have a need to tell you about their loved ones, especially their loved ones that have just passed. And in TV, we want the emotion. We really want to get the screaming and howling, and we want to do it from a distance. You know, we don't want to put the camera in their face. But certainly it's something that we want to roll on because we want to show the anguish of this moment. We want to show the emotion.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. Thank you both for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Michelle McCallop. She is a former crime reporter with KBMT Channel 12 in Beaumont, Texas. We also heard from Natalie Pompilio. She is a freelance journalist who has covered crime, wars, and natural disasters for 15 years. She joined us from Audio Post in Philadelphia.